Okay, Rabbi, we're beginning a brand new parak on Daf Lamed Hey Omed Aleph, the new Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah, Keitzad Mevorchen Al HaPeirois. What bracha do we make on Peirois? So the Mishnah tells us, it depends. Al Peirois Elon, if you're eating a fruit from a tree, who Oimer? Boire Pri Oit. Except for Chutz Ben Ayayin. Shal Ayayin Hu Oimer, Boire Pri Hagofen. Even though we all know that wine comes from the vines of a vineyard and comes from grapes, and grapes you make a boire prio eitz. However, the produce of the grapes, meaning the wine, has a special bracha boire prio gofen. The reason for it is, explains Rashi, because it's very choshev. In which respect is wine choshev? Number one, inherently it's choshev. That's why people drink wine and pay a lot more for wine than they pay for Coca-Cola or for apple juice or orange juice. It's a double choshev. But more importantly, it's because it has so many religious obligations are pertinent thereto. For instance, we all know we make Kiddush al Yayin, we make Havdalah al Yayin, any type of major ceremony, if you will. Person is a Mekadosh to Seisha, they do it al Hayayin. And every single day when they brought Karbonos and they had what's called the Nisachim, the Nisach was Yayin that they poured on the side of the Mizbeach. So Yayin has a very important role in Jewish life, as well as in secular life generally. So therefore it's very chosh if you make a boyer priyakafen. Valperis are things that grow from the land as opposed to from a tree. Who aim a boyer priyadama. With the exception of chutz menapas. Even though bread also grows from the ground. Hard to believe, but yeah, it's true. It grows from the wheat that grows from the ground. Shalapas uwaimi, because it's so choshiv, we make a moitzi lecha min ha'aretz. So these are two of the exceptions to the rule, if you will, that even though it grows from the tree, you make a boyer pri hagofen on the wine, and even if it grows from the ground, you make a moitzi on the bread. Vali yirokas uwaimi, when you're talking about vegetables, you make a boyer pri hagofen. However, b'yuda oimer, boyer mine dishoim. What means boyer mina disham? So from Rashi is mashma. This is not the bracha itself, but rather this is a generic bracha which you're supposed to go and particularize when you're having a particular type of food that grows from the ground. See, if you look at the Rashi on the second line from the top, boyer mina disham. The fish yesh b'chal priho adama. Within this big category of priho adama, you have dishoim. Dishoim means various types of grass, types of things which grow. Uzroim kigoy kitnias. You also have beans. And therefore, it's not just tomatoes and cucumbers and potatoes, but also you have other different types of greens, including kitnias used for cholent. So what do? Says Rabbi Yehuda, boy heker bracha l'chol min u'min. So although the Mishnah doesn't spell it out, but it certainly sounds like from Rashi that if, for instance, a person is eating beans, he doesn't make a boyer pri adama, he doesn't make a boyer mine dushoim, but he makes a boyer mine kitnias. And similarly, if a person go to eat various types of salad that they give, they would presumably say boyer mine dushoim, or things of that nature, that each one of them would have a special bracha b'fnei atzmo, because pri adama is just a little bit too generic, and Rabbi Yehuda wants something a little bit more specific. Okay, before we get involved in great detail in the details of the bracha, the question is, what's the makor that we have to make a bracha? Where does this come from? I look in Bereishis Bara Lekim, Esa Shemaim Vesa Oritz, it doesn't say anything about a bracha. So where does this come from? The only time we find in the Torah Beferish that you have to make a bracha is by, exactly like Uri says, by benching. And that's only afterwards. You had a Kedei Sevilla, you have to go and bench. It doesn't say anywhere else that you have to go and make a bracha. So, that's true. And what do you learn from that? That you're supposed to make a satoyra. But here we're talking about birchas anhenen, talking about eating food. So it doesn't say anything about food brachas except in connection with benching. So where does this come from? Minu anemili. Says Yimor the Toner Rabban. I have a pasuk. It says, Kodesh Hilulim LaHashem. Now where does it say Kodesh Hilulim LaHashem? So if you look at the Torah Or HaSholem, Ois Aleph, Uvashana HaRevias, what does that mean? If you happen to be a farmer and you planted a brand new fruit tree and fruit started growing in the first year or the second year or the third year of the planting, are you allowed to eat from those fruits? And the answer is no. and it has the status of, what's the trip of it, what is it called? It's called Arla. Those 3 years, nobody's allowed to eat from it, a special din of Arla, that you can't eat it. Ah, now what happens in the fourth year? Fourth year is what we call Revai. And as we'll see shortly in the Gemara, there is two different categories of Revai. You have the Netter Revai, and you have Kerem Revai. Kerem Revai means it's the fourth year of the growth of new grapes. You planted these grapes, you planted vines in a vineyard 3 years ago, now it's year number four. What is the status of those peiros? They're called Kerem Revai. Then, what happens if it wasn't Dafka grapes? What happens if you went and you planted, for instance, apples or oranges, and you made an apple tree or an orange tree? First 3 years, they're Arla. What happens now in the fourth year? So then there's something known as Netaravai. Netaravai means anything other than grapes, now in your fourth year. Arla only applies to peiroi se'ilon, fruits that grow from the tree. It does not apply to potatoes or tomatoes or bananas. It's got to be a boiter prior eitz. Okay, now what happens, Taki, in the fourth year? So that's a major machloikis, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, between those that hold Netter Revai and those that hold Kerem Revai. What do you mean between those that hold? The Kerem Revai requires you that you cannot eat. Let's talk about specifically Kerem Revai. Kerem Revai means it's the fourth year of the growth of grapes. In that fourth year, grapes that have grown, or wine that you have produced, or grape juice that you've produced from those grapes, the din of Revai is you cannot eat it outside Yerushalayim, but has the din exactly like Maaser Sheni, that you have to bring it up to Yerushalayim. And what happens if, Kanai Nahari, you have bottles and bottles and bottles and bottles and bottles and bottles of wine, and if you're going to go and take them all to Yerushalayim, it's going to go and cost you a fortune. What are you allowed to do? You're allowed to be poided. You can redeem it. Just like Uri says, you can be poided and you can be machalit on money and take the money up to Yerushalayim. Much easier than have to go and schlep 1,000 bottles of Kedem grape juice or Kedem wine or whatever brand you prefer. The point is that's going to be very heavy, so you can go and be machalit on mois and bring the money up to Yerushalayim. Now that's already everybody agrees to. The question is, what about the apples and the oranges? So some say that the din of Revai applies across the board to all fruits, and therefore all fruits, your apples and your oranges and all the rest of the things. You know, apples and oranges are more drabanandik. But nevertheless, for instance, in the Shiva Saminim, if you had figs and you had dates and all the rest, if you hold that the din of Revai applies across the board, then exact same din. You would not be able to eat any fruits in the fourth year unless you bring them to Yerushalayim or you machal them on money and take the money up to Yerushalayim. However, as we'll see in the Gemara, there are many that hold that the din of Revai only applies to Kerem, only applies to grapes, and not to any other fruit.
Not even
the Shiva Saminim, except for grapes, which are part of the Shiva Saminim. Exactly. But no other fruits. And therefore, in the fourth year, they are totally mutter, just like in the fifth year, and just like in the sixth year, and just like in the seventh year. You don't have to do anything. After 3 years of Orla are over, in the fourth year, it is totally, totally mutter. And in fact, the Pasuk says, Uvashana Haravias, in the fourth year called Periyai, all of these peiros that were previously all condemned as Arla, now they're all Kodesh Hilulim LaHashem. Now the Gemara wants to know what's the definition of the word Hilulim. Hilulim, Pashup Shah, comes from the word Halel, that you're now being Mahal, you're thanking Kodesh Baruch Hu for giving us these fruits. Until now I couldn't eat from them, and Baruch Hashem, I'm so happy, now I can eat. Okay, so the Gemara now, Darshan, says, Hilulim Hashem, Melamed, second line of the Gemara. Melamed comes to tell you, Shetunim Baruch Lefneim Ulachreim. The Hilulim is like a double Halel, if you will. You praise Hashem before you eat, and you praise Hashem after you eat. Mikan, Omer Bekiva, Osel Li'odim Sheyitim Klum, Koydim Sheyavarech. A person's not allowed to be Toyim anything until he makes a bracha. Rabbi Kiva doesn't say it expressly, but presumably he would say that the same thing applies to after eating. You can't be toim unless you go and make a bracha post-eating. But that's what you learn from Hilulim, which is the Lashon Rabim, two times Hilul, two times praise, one before, one after. Freik Dimara. I need Kodesh Hilulim for another din. What's that other din? Have you boil a chad? I need one of the two hilulim. We're assuming that hilulim can be darsh in two ways because it's plural. So one of it is chad yom rachmana achle v'hoder achle. It's a little bit of a pun that achle, first you have to be mechalal it and then you can go and eat it. Ah, what we were just speaking about a moment ago. Since this pasuk is uvashana harevius in the fourth year, to enable you to be able to go and eat from these new fruits, achle, if you want to eat from them outside of Yerushalayim, achle, you first have to be mechalalem, which means like to be paid to them on money, v'hodr, and then only after that achle, you're able to go and eat. Now, even though the pasuk says hilulim with a hay, but we have a rule in the Talmud that often the letters Aleph, Hey, Ches, and Ayim are mischalef. Mischalef means you can go and change them. And so therefore you interchange. Exactly, thank you. Thank you, Reb Doniel. And therefore, although it's in the pasuk Hilulim, it's as if it said Chilulim. So therefore you can be mechalalit. Okay, now that's one drusha. The Ida,
again, from the word Chilulim. If it's chilul,
yes,
then how do you learn bracha?
That's the Gemara's kasha. Uri, you put your finger on the pulse of the Gemara's kasha. How can you go and learn the din of brachos if I need it for other purposes? So far I've only used it for one purpose, and that's the achle b'hoder achle. But hilulim is double its rabim. So therefore the idach, and I learned the second drasha, dovra toin shira toin chilul, v'sheina toin shira ein toin chilul. That the din of chilul that we just finished saying, achle b'hoder achle, only applies to those fruits which are toin shira. What do you mean toin shira? You start singing. If anybody wants to know anything about singing, we have our expert Reb Simcha. He'll tell you all about it afterwards. But the point is, which fruit is miyuchad, special, that we go and do shira? Okay, Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amr Bjornison, Amr Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amr Bjornison. Minayin she'ein oimim shira el al hayayin. How do you know that when you say shira, you say it al hayayin? Zok t'imor al teya she'nemer. It says the pot v'teim lehem hagefen hechdalti es tiroishi hamisameach elikim va'anoshim. Ah, so the Geffen says that's something which is mesameach alekim vanoshim, that it brings simcha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to people. Frey Timora, one second. In manoshim mesameach, I can understand there are a lot of people that really love to drink wine, and it brings a tremendous simcha. People become so jolly and so joyful when they drink wine. But alekim v'mem mesameach HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't drink any wine. Mikan she'en shem amim shira el alayayin. From this I see that when you want to say shira, you say it el alayayin. What does that mean, that when you want to say shira alayayin? That doesn't make sense. In other words, anytime I want to go and sing, okay, bring out the wine. So Rashi says that when the Levim would sing shir on the karbonis in the Beis Hamikdash, that's the shir shel yoim that we say every day, that the Levim used to say in the Beis Hamikdash when the karbonis would be brought. They don't go and say it at the beginning of the shechita. They don't do it at the time of the Kabbalah Saddam. They don't do it at the time of the Zerika. They don't put on the time when you put the Emun on the Mizbeach, or any other aspect, but rather only when they were menasech the wine on the mizbeach in the corner, that's when they started saying shira, the shira shel yayin. Ah, that's the shira al hayayin. So what do I learn from this, therefore? That the din of achle, v'hoder achle, that you have to first be mechal the fruit in year 4 to be able to eat them outside Yerushalayim, only applies to those fruits or the produce of those fruits upon which you say hilul. You do hilul on those things that you do hilul. Hilul means al hayayin. Therefore, only by grapes is there a din of revai, what we call kerem revai. But there is no din of revai by any other fruits, according to this limud. Okay, so bottom line is, the Gemara is, so we're still in the middle of a kasha. We haven't finished the kasha yet, because we shouldn't lose our train of thought. The Gemara said, how do I know you're the Indian of going making a bracha, both before and after food items? Because it says, hilulim, double. Telling you hilul before, hilul afterwards. Thank you, one second, I need both halves of the hilulim. I knew the first one to go and tell you the din of hilul, that you have to machal the revai in the fourth year if you want to eat it outside Yerushalayim. And that I need to tell you that the din of revai only applies to yayin, only to kerem. And so therefore I need both parts of this hilulim. Says Yimara, honey, chalaman, the tani, net revai. If you're going to go and tell me that the halacha is not kerem ravai. But net ravai means that the din of ravai applies across the board. So then, at least one of these two drashas I no longer need, because I respectfully disagree with the second drasha, that there's only a din of ravai by yayin, because ein oimrim shira ela ala yayin. I mean, that you don't say shira yayin, that of course, that still remains. That you menasach nesachim in the Beis HaMikdash, and then you do the shira. Yeah, 100%. But the Gabi Hilchas Revai, the din doesn't only apply to those food items, those fruits upon which we say shira mit yayin, but rather applies across the board. So if that's the case, then I only have the first part of the drasha, meaning the achle, v'hadar achle, which applies to all fruits. So then I have the second part of the hilulim remaining empty, if you will, allowing us to go and darshan at least one of the two requirements to make a bracha. See, Mar says, if you hold netaravai, one of the two hilulims is ibarik, it's superfluous. So from that, at least I can go learn one of the brachas, either the lefneim or the achareim. We'll see in the Gemara which one of the two. But eleman detani kerem ravai, but the one that really holds kerem ravai, it's got to be dafka kerem. So then, lechoyram, using both halves of the kodesh hilulim, so I don't know the din of bracha anywhere, either bracha before or bracha afterwards. So Michael, maybe what am I going to do? The Itmar, this is in fact the machloikis that we've been talking about so far this morning. Reb Chiv, Reb Shimon, Berebi, Chad Toni Kerem Ravai, Vechad Toni Net Ravai. What means Chad Toni? Explains Rashi. There are numerous Mishnayis out there in Zeroyim that talk about Ravai, and each time we have a machloikis between Reb Chiv and Reb Shimon, Berebi, do we insert the word Kerem and delete the word Netta, or do we insert the word Netta and delete the word Kerem? Is the din of Ravai that you have to be mechalit, and you can only eat in Yerushalayim if you're not mechalit? Does that only apply to kerem, to grapes? Does that apply across the board? Aha. And therefore, says Imar, Ulaman de Tani kerem Ravai, even if you say according to Maniyam, a kerem Ravai. In other words, if you hold neta Ravai, then Baruch Hashem, at least I have one part of the double Kodesh Hilulim, since Hilulim is two limudim, because it's Lashon Rabim. So one I'm going to use, v'hadir achle, v'hadir achle, that's fine. I have the other one left over. So if I hold kerem ravai, l'chayra, then I don't have a makor, I don't have a source for making a bracha, lifneim u'le'achreim. If I hold neta ravai, then at least that part of the Kodesh Hilulim, the second drasha, is now superfluous, and therefore I can use it to teach us at least one bracha, either before or after, as the Gemara is going to explain a little bit further. So what am I going to do according to the Kerem Ravai Madiyama? Elaman Tani Kerem Ravai Ma'ikalameima. What will be the source of saying a bracha before or after any food? The Itmar, Reb Chiv, Reb Shimon, Rabbi, Chatoni Kerem Ravai, Chatoni Netter Ravai. Ulaman Tani Kerem Ravai, Honicha Iyalef Gzeira Shavah. If the man, the yama that holds Kerem Ravai, not necessarily is his source from the Kodesh Hilulim, you know what? Maybe he has another source for it. And if he has another source, then I'll again have at least one of the two drushes available from the Kodesh Hilulim to tell us the din of a bracha lefneim ulachareim. What other source could I possibly have? Says the Gemara, Hanichi Yalev Gzeir Shav Tanya, Rabbi Oymet Nemarkan Lahoisef Lechem Tevu Asai. Where is this Lahoisef Lechem Tevu Asai? This is now already year number 5. You planted 5 years ago. First 3 years was Arla. Fourth year was Ravai. Now it's the 5th year, says in the Pasuk, Uvashano Hachamishis. What this pasuk is telling you is, you are free from any restrictions whatsoever, except that you have to make a bracha. And we just don't even know yet about how I know that you're supposed to make a bracha. Of course, if it's an Eretz Yisrael, you also have dinim of trumas and maestras. But that's not our concern at the moment. But we are now focusing on that in the 5th year it says, Lahoisef lechem tvu asai. Now it's true that the word tvua typically means grain, but here the word tvua is meant more broadly as the word produce. Then in the 5th year, tochu espiri, you can eat the fruits, lahoisef lechem tvu asai. That's because of the great amount, the abundance of the new produce that you have, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, ani Hashem alekechem. So it says tvu asai. And I have another pasuk. Where's this other pasuk? It says in the pasuk Dalit, Loisizra karmecha kaloyim pentikshe shamalei hazera shetizra usavuas ha korem. Ah, So I use specifically the word tvua, which normally means grain, or here produce, referring to a kerem. So let's now make a gzeirish of it. Just like malalon, just like the second tvua is used in connection with a kerem, so then the first tvua is also used. Afkan is talking about a kerem. Ah, so therefore, according to that mandiyomar, that's the mekoyer that the halach of revai only applies to kerem and not to neta. If that's the case, so I have benefited that ayatra le chad hilul lebracha. So then of the two, kodesh hilulims, one of the two is now available to tell you the din that you have to go and make a bracha when you eat. Whether before or after, we're going to address that momentarily. So where are we at this point? Where we're at this point is, we started off, we want to know the makar of bracha before and after. We said hilulim is two drushes, one before, one after. And then the Gemara said, no, you can't use both, because the first one has to tell you the din of being machal, achli v'hadar achli. That's clear. We need that drusha. The question is, what about the second part? The second part we thought has to do with shira al hayayin, hilul on yayin. So therefore it's only a din of kerem. No, so then I don't have any makoyer, any drushes available to tell you the din of before or after that you have to make a bracha. So the Gemara said, okay, if you hold neter avai, then there's no problem, because we don't darshan that second half to tell you only by grapes. It applies across the board to all fruits. So at least I have one drush available. And even if you hold kerem revai, if you learn the din of kerem revai from another drusha of this gzeira shava, tvuasai, tvuasai karem, baruch Hashem, so again I have another makar for kerem. I don't need the second drush of mkoydi shilulim. So now I have one drush available to tell you the din of bracha. If you don't learn that gzeira shava, but you do hold the din of kerem revai, then I'm really stuck, because I'm using both parts of the kodesh ilulim. One to tell you achle v'hadar achle, and the second to tell you the din that the din of being mechalel only applies to something that you say hilul, that you say shira on, which is of course grapes. So then bracha minole. So I'm back to square one. Minole mino animili. How do I know there's a din of making a bracha
for something other than grapes?
Exactly. V'inami, we're talking about making brachas generally. V'inami yalav gzeira shava, and even if you do darshan the gzeira shava, ashkechon li'achrav. So since I have now one of the two kodesh hilulims available, so remember we've been saying all along it's going to tell you either lifneim u la'achareim. So the Gemara says it's going to tell you la'achareim. Ashken li'achrav. Why does the Gemara assume it's la'achrav more than lefanav? Because says the Gemara, like Uri said about 10 minutes ago, because we do find somewhere in the Torah that you have to make a bracha with regard to food. Where is that? The echalta, the savato ve'rachta. And which bracha is that? Is that a lefanav bracha or la'achar bracha? That's an la'achrav bracha. So then the assumption is that the kodesh elulim, if it's telling you make a bracha, it's probably the liachra bracha. That would make sense.
What new is it?
Exactly. But lefanav minayin. But how do I know lefanav? Which, of course, that's the whole context of our Mishnah and our whole new perek that Mendy announced already so beautifully today in the last few days. We're a brand new perek that you have to make a bracha before. What's the makar? I only have one of the two drushes available, maximum. What's the kal v'chaymer? And this is a very logical kal v'chaymer. Kishahu saveya mevorech madach. After you've already eaten, you have to go and thank Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kishahu roev, when you are starving, when you're hungry and you want to eat, before you go and eat, like Koshkin, certainly shouldn't you go and thank Hashem for giving you the food to be able to take away the hunger that you have, that you haven't eaten. So therefore, I don't need a special pasuk. I can learn it as a kolshkim, it as a kal v'chaim. Okay, so far so good. The Gemara says, according to either the mandiyama that holds neter revai, or even according to the mandiyama that holds kerem revai, but he learns the kerem revai from the gzeira shava tvoasi tvoasai, I now have that second part of the kodesh hilulim available for adrasha. It comes to tell you the din of bracha li'achrav. How do I know bracha lefanav? Based on a kal v'chaymer. So, baruch Hashem. So at least we have finally addressed our kasha. Minu ani mili. How do you know you have to make a bracha before and after? A combination of the one drush available from kodesh hilulim together with a kal v'chaymer. But for 18 more, but 1 second. Ashkechon kerem. This whole discussion that we're talking about is about the grapes, the kodesh hilulim. Shar minim minayin. How do I know any other min? In other words, how do I know that you have to go and make a bracha, lefanav uli achrav, by apples, by oranges, or by vegetables, or anything else. Says you want the alafi kerem. You learn with the mamatzino from kerem. What's a mamatzino? That just like we find my kerem, kerem is certainly something that you have hanoah from. If you drink the wine, you drink the grape juice, you have hanoah. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu said you have to make a bracha lefano of the achrav based on Kodesh Ilulim together with the kal v'chaymer. So it makes sense, probably, afkol dovish and hana ton bracha. That's very, very logical. Mamatzino. Torah says over here, so probably the same thing applies everywhere. But just whenever you have a mamatzino, that is the easiest drasha, if you will, that you can ask a pircha on. So I have a pircha. What's my pircha? Malakerem shekein chayiv ba'oilis. Maybe only by kerem HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this special din that you have to make a bracha lefano of an achrav. Maybe this doesn't apply to all other fruits and vegetables, because kerem has another chumrah that nothing else has. What is that chumrah? The chumrah of oilis. What means oilis? That if you go out into your vineyard and you find that there's a cluster of grapes that never fully developed, and you only have little budding, small little grapes, which are probably quite tart because they didn't have a chance to grow nicely, and therefore those little small little grapes, the halacha is you have to leave it for the aniyim, just like leket shikhupeya. When it comes to the din of grapes, is the din of oilis, those you have to leave in your garden, in your vineyard, for the aniyim. This doesn't apply anywhere else. It doesn't apply to apples and to oranges and to potatoes and to tomatoes. So maybe only there the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, make a bracha lefana voli achrav. Says Yimar, Kama Techiach. I'll bring you a raya from Kama. Kama means from grains. Where there, you are mechuyev to make a bracha. Where's the din of making a bracha? That's from the Echalta Vesavarta Verachta. If you have grain, and then afterwards you go make it, for instance, into bread, into matzah, into challah, then you have to go make a bracha v'chaltas vatz v'rachta. Ah, so we see it's not a din that only applies to grapes. It applies already to tevuah too. So that takes away this oilless kasha, especially that we try to bring a kasha, a pircha, by grapes.
So why don't we just go straight to that? Why do we have to go this whole detour through the vineyard? We could have gone straight to
Dr. Yamara, I can learn from Kama. Malakama shekin chayevus b'challah. Maybe the reason why by Kama the Torah gives a special din of Yechaltav Zlot V'rachta, there's a din of making a bracha, of benching, only because it's chayiv in challah. Challah means, as we all know, if you're going and baking a new dough which has a certain shiur, at least they say 5 pounds of flour or whatever, 43 eggs volume, and you went and now you want to go and bake it into a bread or into a matzah or into a challah, then you have to go and be mafrish challah mino isa. But this only applies to baking bread. It doesn't apply to making wine. It doesn't apply to making apple cider. It doesn't apply to making kompot from various fruits. So maybe only there's a special din of bracha. So to have a kerem yechiach, I'll bring you right from kerem. Kerem, there's no din of challah. You don't have to give challah from your wine or from your grape juice, and still the Torah is telling you have to go and make a bracha. Says the Gemara, ah, so we have what we call v'chazer hadin. V'chazer hadin l'rizek, rizel, l'rizek, rizel. That what? Kama is different than grapes in the sense that kama you have to bring challah, but you're part of from oilis. On the other hand, when you're talking about grapes, you're chayv oilis, but you're part of challah. So each one has a chumrah that the other one does not have. So therefore, I'm going to learn with a mahatzad. What's the mahatzad? Atzad, sheva shemehen, tovish and hen, v'tom bracha. Both of them are things which, when you eat them, you say, that's good, it's delicious, and you have to make a bracha. Afkol dovish and hen, anything else that you eat or you imbibe, you have to go and make a bracha. So you learn with a matzad from the two together. But you can't even learn with a matzad, because both of them have a shaychus to the mizbeach. What's the shaychus in the mizbeach? That when you're talking about the wine that we've been talking about all morning, you have the nisach hayayin, and when you're talking about the chalua, the kama, you use that for a carbon mincha, or minchas nesachim. So both of them have a shaychus in the mizbeach. However, what are you going to do about apples and oranges that have no shaychus in the mizbeach at all? And in fact, the only thing that you can bring from this matzad is v'asinami zayis, the ispei tzad mizbeach. You can go and include one other thing that grows from the trees, and that would be a zayis, that would be an olive. What's up is an olive, because you make olives into olive oil, and you put the oil into your carbon mincha, so it has a shaychus and mizbeach. But what are you going to do? But you don't put apple juice inside your carbon mincha, you don't go put orange juice. So, only the gabe zayis. How would we know about anything else? Now, before we answer that, the Gemara goes and gives a sharp retort and says, the Zayis mitzad mizbeach. Or see, they learn the din of Zayis only because it's from the tzad hashavah sheben, and we're saying they have a tzad mizbeach, and Zayis oil also has a tzad mizbeach. For behedik sibbeh, karem. The reason why by Zayisim you should also have to make a bracha of the fun of Uli Achrav is because Zaysim are also called Kerem. Where do we find that Zaysim olives are called Kerem? The Chassidus says in the Pasuk, Vayivar Migodesh Viad Kama Viad Kerem Zayis. Oh, so it says that Zayis, olives, we wouldn't normally think of olives growing in an olive vineyard, but the Torah uses the term vineyard of Kerem, even the Gabi, the word Zayis. So if that's the case, once we establish that there's a din by Kerem, that you have to go and make a bracha, Lefonov Uli Achrov, so then by definition, Zayis is included. So I don't need a special limud now of Mahatzat to say that it also has Tzad Mizbeach. Forget about Tzad Mizbeach. The reason why Zayis is high, because Zayis Ashtik Kerem, as we state in the Pasuk about Kerem Zayis. Omra Papa, they're kasha nishka kasha, because kerem zayis ikri, kerem stoma loy ikri. When you find the Torah to use the expression kerem, kerem means exclusively vineyard. If you mean to say an orchard in which you have olives growing, you could use the term kerem zayis, but only when you put the two words together hyphenated. Kerem zayis. Kerem alone does not mean olive orchards. It only means vineyards. And since we're talking about the din of kerem, the kerem revai, etc., etc.,
it has to be
talking about dafka grapes. Stomalo ikri. Dafka kerem zayis ikri, kerem stomalo ikri. Okay, so fine. We got off on a tangent just for a moment. Mikol mokum kasha. Let's focus back on our questioning again. And that is, you're telling me that the makor for saying brachas lefonav uli achrav is from a combination of kerem together with kama. You can't learn from kerem alone because kerem male kerem sheyesh bo din oilis. You can't learn from kama alone because male kama that has a special din of chala. But the tzad hashavah shebehen, that it's a yesh sukti mara, male tzad hashavah shebehen that it has that it's nehenah and yet mechuy of a bracha, af koleilu all other food items that your nehenah is torn bracha. But frankly, you might have a pirch on that too. Malatzad shemeshen shekin yesh ben tzad mizbeach, and that is that only those things that have a shaychus to mizbeach, meaning your wine, your grapes that produce wine, and your kama which produces mincha, and I don't even need the oil. Or yes, throw in the oil too, because I cannot learn it from kerem because it's only called kerem zayis, but here just says kerem. Fine, that too. Shkoyach, also the oil, good. But what about everything else? The apples and the oranges and the tomatoes and the potatoes, none of which have a din of tzad mizbeach. Says Yimar, you know what? Forget about everything we've been saying until now. We don't learn it from Kodesh Shilulim. We're going to learn it from the Shivas Aminim. How do we learn from the Shivas Aminim? Because although the famous pasuk that everybody talks about, and that Uri has already mentioned three times this morning, we normally think in terms of bread, but really, if you look in the psukim, this pasuk follows after an earlier pasuk that says, Eretz chita sa'ira gefen sa'ena v'rimayin, Eretz zeh shemenu dvash. If those who want to look at the whole lashon of the pasuk in Ois Ches, the publishers have done a beautiful job in bringing all the psukim back to back. Eretz chita sa'ira gefen sa'ena v'rimayin, Eretz zeh shemenu dvash. That's the famous pasuk that enumerates the shivas haminim shenishtabchu behem Eretz Yisrael, the seven species that Eretz Yisrael is famous for. And the next pasuk continues on. Eretz asher lo miskenus toichel bo lechem lo yisechzer kol bo. Eretz asher avaneh barzel umeharreh tachzev nechoshes v'yachaltem savotav erachtu as Hashem alekech lo arzatav shenislach. So therefore, v'yachaltem savotav erachtu is really going now not only on the toichel bo lechem, on bread, it's going on all the Shiva Saminim. And therefore, the Shiva Saminim, and Mal the Shiva Saminim, back to the Gemara, second white line, my Shiva Saminim, Dovish and Beto and Bracha. The Pasik said, the Chalf is what they were after. I've called Dovish and Beto and Bracha. Oh, Zaykit. Freakim, oh, 1 second. Mal the Shiva Saminim, Shikin Chayam Bibikurim. The halacha that you have to bring Bikurim up to the Beis Hamikdash every single year only applies to Shiva Saminim. And therefore, maybe only over there did the Kodesh Baruch Hu say you have to make a Bracha, the fun of Uli Achram. But if I have, for instance, oranges and apples, where there is no din of bikurim, maybe there's no din of bracha lefneim uli achareim. V'oyde noch akashem. Hateinach liachrav. The pasuk only says v'chalt v'svat v'rachrav. Lefana minayin, how do I know lefana that you have to make a bracha b'yir priyo etz, etc.? I think we're the whole like kashem. Don't you remember we already asked that kashan before, and we already answered. What's the kal v'chaymer? Kishu seveya mevorech. Madach, when a person is already satiated, he has to make a bracha. Kishu roiv, when he's asking Hashem, please give me bread, give me my food. Thank you for taking away my hunger pains. L'kolchke d'chavani, you have to make a bracha. Okay, so l'choira, that teretz is a good teretz, but I'm still stuck with the question. Ma l'shivas aminim shekin chayom b'bikurim. Now the Gemara is asking a kasha which overrides the entire sugya, because everything that we've been speaking about till now are things which are planted. Whether you're talking about your kerem, whether you're talking about your kama, whether you're talking about apples and oranges, whether you're talking about your zesim, shivas aminim, all of these things grow from either the ground or from the trees, but they grow in gidule karka. What do you do with basar beyim bedogim? You're talking about meat, you're talking about eggs, you're talking about fish. Those obviously don't grow from the ground, they don't grow from trees. If you found that they grew from trees, dogim growing from trees, that would be very, very fishy. So the Gemara says, so how do I know that zebracha lefanavuli achra minolei? Says the Gemara, you know what? I give up on all my drushes. We're not going to learn it from Kodesh Hilulim. We're not going to learn it from Kerem. We're not going to learn it from Netaravai. We're not going to learn it from Kama. We're not going to learn from the Shiva Saminim. Ela Svaru. It's a Poshet Svaru. What's the Svaru? Osir loy li odim shehenim in oilim hazeh b'loy bracha. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving you a bracha of food, you have to thank Hashem. It's only natural. It's only normal. If you go and get an allowance from your parents, of course you thank them for it. Who says that you mechuyav to give thanks?
It's mannerly.
It's mannerly. It's pushit etiquette. It's morality. It's ethics. That's the way a person should conduct his life. And in fact, the Gemara says it's not only that it's a nice thing to do. Toner Rabbanu, we have in the Braisa. If you have a no by eating something, drinking something without making a bracha, it's osir, it's prohibited. It's as if he was moil behegdish. The Gemara doesn't mean it literally, because if he forgot to make a bracha, didn't make a bracha, you don't have to bring a carbon asham me'ilois. But it does mean that you are going, in a sense, like stealing from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Gemara is going to use that expression in the Amud Beis, because Hashem, it belongs all to Hashem. The only way that you're allowed to go and take it from Hashem is if you say pretty please and you thank Hashem. Otherwise you have no right, and therefore that's the makar. So now we started off 15-20 minutes ago with Akasha Menu and Emili. How do I know there's a din of making a bracha? You don't learn it from Kodesh Elul Hashem. You don't learn it from Shiva Saminim. You don't learn it from Kama. You learn it with Aposhida Balabatish Svara. You have to go and make a bracha. Yes, Rabbi Newman.
So why do we have to go through this whole arichos if we already know it's also the Adam?
That's the end.
Number one, lahagdol ter ladira. Exactly right.
Which came to the end.
Number two, if it would only say nigmar, it's a svara, then somebody would say, why can't I go and learn it from a pasuk? Why do I have to use my human logic? Yeah. I have extra drashas available. It says, Kodesh Elul Hashem. What does the Kodesh Elul Hashem mean? And you say, Halil. So probably they come to tell you the dinner. Or let's go learn it from Michal Tavot Arachtav, from the Shiva Samina. So therefore, says the Gemara. Yeah, Vazokti.
Under this principle, we should be able, we should be mechayev to say a bracha to any anoa. You go to the beach and you have anoa from it, you should say a bracha.
Interesting shalom.
When do we know that other anoas outside food, you are not lachuya, you can't be the enemy without a problem?
How do you define anoa, though?
So Barry says, how do you define the word anoa? You know, how do you define pleasure? Clearly, eating food, that gives pleasure to the person, because without it, the person couldn't exist. You can exist without going on the beach. You know, some people have been on the beach for years. And some people can't go on the beach because they get a sunburn, etc. So
you have to make a bracha on every breath that you see
more of myself.
Oh, and your Daniel says, every breath that you take, you have a no. The fact you wake up in the morning, of course you say Moidani, but you shouldn't go and say Kol Nishima Nishima. You should have to go and make a bracha. Anyway,
can I share a story?
I'm sorry?
Can I share a story?
Yes, Mendy would like to share a story.
Years ago, 1984, thereabouts, I bought my first building in real estate. My first building. Uncle Mr. Macher Vetter was my advisor and mentor, and after the contractor closing, we said, Mendy's going to a bodega to a store, buy a drink, make a shakal, have in mind the mecca on a board. So that bracha on the shakal, on the beverage, he had in mind to be yotzi also
that's close to my building.
Oh, very good. Very nice story. Yes, what would you like to add back?
I was a little, you were going through the lima, I didn't want to interrupt you, but you said, Mashiachim, Dover Shenen of a tone bracha. That juxtaposition, it's kind of like rushed through. It's Dover Shenen of a tone bracha. I mean, it feels like there's no. Which we're using the argument to prove the conclusion.
On the third white line. Okay, Afkol Davishanana.
Beton bracha. So if you're learning something, it needs a bracha, therefore it needs a bracha. It felt circular. The logic felt circular.
No, he was saying, go back to second white line. Mashiva Saminim, Davishanana. Obviously, if you go and have pleasure from the Shiva Saminim, how? By eating them or drinking them, any one of the seven. What is the Torah Mechayev you? Torah Mechayev you a bracha. V'chaltas v'atzu berachtu. It's af kol dover, shenana. Therefore, we should learn from that with a mamatzinu, that anything else that you eat or that you drink that you have anor should also be torah and bracha. Talk to you more. That's a very good mamet. See, but have a beer. Chosin kechayov mebikur. Talk to you more about it. So
that's tomorrow.
Nachul.
Tnuva
sasada.
I'll say something afterwards. Something I heard.
Tvua. You don't mean tnuva. Tvua. Tvua is a card. So when we said that it's true that normally tvua means grain. The tvua sakarim in this connection means produce, where tvua is used in a more generic, more general. That's more general, exactly. The limited definition of the word tvua is just grain. Tvua sakarim means any type of produce, or at least the produce of a vineyard. So we're on the first of the wide lines down below. What happens if you did have hanoa without making a bracha moal? So you've done something bad, not a karma hasham be'ilois. But Rashi says kin nehena min a hegdish. Two lines before the end of Rashi, three lines. It's as if he had hanoa from hegdish. It's not hegdish. It's chulin. But it's like having hanoa from hegdish. Tichsev l'Hashem ha'aretz u'mlaya can mean like, come on, like the Gemara is going to say in another moment. Everything belongs to Hashem. So if you take something from Hashem's trees, Hashem's fruits, then you have to go and acknowledge and you have to thank Hashem. Otherwise, you're being moiled by hegdish. That's what the Gemara said. Afreit Gemara ma'itakati. So what do you do now if you didn't make a bracha? Go to a chacham. Afreit Gemara yedachel to a chacham. My avodle, he already ate it. To avodle yisuri, he already ate without making a bracha. What's the chacham going to tell him? So Gemara, no, he doesn't mean after the fact. To prevent you from going and snatching things from Hashem's world without thanking Hashem, go to the Chacham first and ask the Chacham, tell me what bracha do I make? How do I make a bracha? Etc. So you shouldn't have this problem of me'ila. And the Gemara tells us now, Amr Yudah Mishmuel Kan Hedman of Zevelay Bracha, Kilanami Kotchim Shemaim. It's as if you're having Hanoah from Kotchim sacrifices the base. Maybe Shinema, like Rashi brought, Lashem Ha'orit Simloya. Everything belongs to Hashem. You're taking it from Hashem without making a bracha. It's as if you are stealing it, or it's at least as if you're being moil, having a noah from Hegdish. Reb Levi Rami, Ksiv, the pasuk that we just had in Allah, Hashem, Haaretz, Himlayer. Ksiv, I have another pasuk that we say in the Hallel, Hashemayim, Shemayim, Lashem, Vaaretz, Nasal of Ne'adam. So make up your mind. Here it says, Lashem, Haaretz, Himlayer. Hashem owns the world. Here it says, Vaaretz, Nasal of Ne'adam, that people own the world. So who? Before you make a bracha, it's Hashem's world. As soon as you make your bracha, a Kadosh Baruch Hu has Kaviyachal taken his hand from upstairs in Shemayim, put it into your hand, and says, now it's yours. Kam v'acher bracha. It's as if he's stealing from Hashem, and it's as if he's stealing from Klal Yisrael. Now, I understand that he's stealing from Hashem. What is that? How does Klal Yisrael get involved in this? Says the top Rashi, when a person is chote, all of us have a din of arvus. We are responsible for our brothers. We are our brother's keeper. And if somebody goes and eats without a bracha, so then it's if we are allowing this to occur, and therefore chas v'sholom loiken, there's chas v'sholom a plague either on the food or on the people. So therefore, be sure to make a bracha, otherwise it affects not only Hashem's, but also affects the rest of Klai Yisrael. Shnem it says in the pasuk, goizel over the imoy va'oimer ein pesha chaver huli ish mashchis. This is a pasuk in Mishlei, in Proverbs, where the Mishlei tells us, goizel over the imoy, if a person steals from his parrot, va'oimer says ein pesha, no, I didn't do anything wrong, no, it's only my parrot. Chavahu, then he's chas v'sholom machaver, he's a friendly ish mashchis to a person who's full of destruction. He's a terrible guy. So the Pashim Pshat we understand. But the Gemara now explains the Ein Abba the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Ovi is referring to Hashem Yizbarach. Shenema, Halihu Avicha Kanechu Ascha V'yechein Anecha. That's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then it's the Ein Ima the Kodesh Yisrael. Shenema, Shema B'di Musar Avicha V'atitosh Toiras Imecha. The Toirat V'imecha doesn't mean just your mother. It means from all the mothers in Klal Yisrael, meaning the Masoida that we've gotten from generation to generation. That's the Toirat. So Aim, that's the Toirat of Klal Yisrael. Aha. So therefore, a person who eats without a bracha is being goizel of it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Imoy and his mother, meaning Knesset Yisrael. And now continues on the Gemara, my chavre hilish mashkus. What does that mean? I'm chodin about papa. Chavre hilish Yeravim ben Nevat. He becomes like a brother, like a friend of Yeravim ben Nevat. Who's Yeravim ben Nevat? Shehiskus Yisrael of Im Shemashemayim. As we know, Yeravim was the one that caused the irreparable break in the Malchus between Malchus Beis David and then what afterwards became the Malchi Yisrael, because until that time there was only one Melech. Initially you had David Melech and you had Shlomo Melech, and after that you had the split between Rehovam and Yerovam. And Yerovam was a very, very bad guy because he was afraid that Klal Yisrael would meet and get together every time, three times a year on the Shalosh Regalim, and they would go to the Beis HaMikdash. So he put up specially sentry guards not to allow anybody to be Oilet Yerushalayim, and instead he put up these two huge idols, one in the north and one in the south, and he told them, everybody for Shalosh Regalim, go to those Baals, go to those huge idols. And therefore he's considered to be one of the worst Jews ever in history, this Yerovam ben Nevat. So if a person eats without making a bracha, it's his chaver. Now, why do you say that? You make him so terrible, Yerovam ben Nevat? Says Rashi, yes. Because just like Yerovam ben Nevat was choite umachti es klal Yisrael, if you find another Jew eating without a bracha, no, if Yankel can do it, then I can do it. After all, he just ate without a bracha. Lightning didn't come down from Shemayim killing him on the spot. So apparently it's okay. So Chas V'Shalom, people will learn from that. If you see the second line from the top of the Gemara, Ein Pesha, Wusayist Ein Pesha, V'Oimer Ein Pesha, Chovul Ish Mashkus, Ein Pesha, Lefishu Mekel, Royim Acherim, Ule Meidem Mimenu Lassus Kein, Lihonis Ma'an Oilem B'lei Bracha. L'kach Nikra Zeha Mekel, Chovul Ish Mashkus, T'Yerov Menevot, Abus Choyti Yomachti, Es Hara. Yes, Rabbi Newman.
How does the Bracha transfer the Rishis of this world from Hashem to us? What's the mechanism?
It says if it's one of the rules and regulations of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, if you want to eat something, make a bracha. Now you can go through the admission machine in the toll booth.
The
turnstile, that's the word I was looking for. Instead of having to put a Metro card in, or years ago we used to put tokens in, all you have to do is make the bracha, and Kodesh Baruch Hu says, okay, now free entry and go in. So Hashem says, green light. Oh, so as soon as you make your bracha, Kodesh Baruch Hu hands it down to you, you can now have enough.
When you put your name in the sefer, always put the Shem Oros from low, and then put your name. Even if you're safer, it's also really
it's certainly safer to do it that way. And we continue on. Reb Chanina bar Papa Rami, I have a similar steer that we had before. Ksiv for the kachti digoni biitoy. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, I will take away my dogon. That pasuk is referring to when Klal Yisrael Chas V'Shalom are sinning. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, you guys are bad, then I'm going to take back my dogon. I'm not going to leave it for you. I'm taking it back for me. Digoni. Ksiv when it says in Kriya Shema V'Yasafta digonecha, your dogon. So make up your mind. Is it Hashem's dogon? Is it my dogon? So Timon Lekasha comes mind. She says, if you're doing what you're supposed to. You collect your dog and your grain. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm taking it back. I'm not leaving it for you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make this type of disease or that type of disease, and you won't be able to have Hanukkah. Turn around. So now we're going to go into some very, very profound discussions, which are very, very negea every single day of the week to all of us. And that is, what are we supposed to do in this world? On the one hand, we're supposed to go and be osek v'gisa bo yomum v'layla. We're supposed to learn Torah by tugim banacht. And at the same time, we all have to make parnasa. So how do you go and juggle the two? That's, of course, a question that is something that we all are challenged with on a daily basis. The Gemara says, "Turn about, v'safti ganecha, matam alayim." Why does the Torah say you collect your dogon? Lefish nemet says the apostle Yomish sefer Torah zezem mipicha mipizaracham zerzaracha ad olam. This Torah, the words of the Torah should not leave your lips the whole time, the entire day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So tomorrow, Yochel Dvarim Kechsov. If I'm going to read this literally, then I'll never be able to go and do any work because I'll have to constantly learn and learn and learn and learn, and this shiur won't go on just for an hour. It'll go on for 24 hours. Tamaloy mevi'asav t'dikanecha. Hanig behen minig derech heretz. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. And that's, of course, the famous origin of the motto of the Yekis, Tauro im derech heretz. It's also a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that if you're Mekayim, the Torah im derech heretz, then that's the way to live your life, trying to combine the two. Learning of the Torah, being preeminent, and then as well, of course, derech heretz doesn't mean over here to be ethical and moral, that's of course, but in addition to that, derech heretz that you have to make a livelihood, you have to make parnasa.
You sent out that the speech Rabbi Salvation, you talked about Higisa not being, you're learning 24 hours, but you're devoted, your heart is with Torah. He stressed Higisa.
Exactly, and I certainly agree with that. That's 100% right. Rabbi Shimma Yichoy Oimer, Efsha Odom, that's the choices that we had early on in our Masechta that says how come when you go into a sukkah multiple times during sukkahs, if you go on the same day, you go 9 o'clock and then you go 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and each time you eat something, you have to make it, you have to, on in sukkah, you have to make a brand new bracha each time if you eat a shiur. How come when you start learning every time you do another shiur in the morning and the afternoon, why don't you have to go? Because the whole day, you're not Masiach Das. So that's the Hagisa that you hold, even if you're not learning, but you hold. Yeah.
Stop.
You start good. The gestalt is involved in learning. Anyway, so the Gemara continues on. Rav Shimon Yichoy says no. Efsha Odom Choyd B'Shas Charisha. Person who's going to do the Akron, the plowing. V'Zorei B'Shas Ria. He's going to go and do the planting. V'Choyd B'Shas Ktsir. He's going to do the harvesting. V'Dosh B'Shas Tishir. He's going to go and do the threshing. V'Zorei B'Shas
Haruach. Seder Pas.
And he's going to go, and there's a pas for this as Agamar. And V'Zorei B'Shas Haruach. And he's doing the winnowing. Torah Matei Alef. A person's going to be busy in the farm 24 hours a day the whole year. Then I was like, when is he going to learn Torah? Hello, Bizman Shisol Oisur Torah Shalom. If you devote yourself 24 hours a day just to learn, don't be nervous. The Malach is going to send out a special bracha. Others are going to work for you. You're not going to have to worry. Shenemar. Shenemar. I knew that this would be a challenging, interesting, fascinating one. Yeah, Shenemar, like I said in the past, Amduzorim, strangers are going to come. And they're going to go and take your soin out to pasture. They're going to take care of your basic needs. But if you guys are bad, then you're going to have to do it yourself. Shenemar, so it's not like Rabbi Shmuel learned Vesafta Ganecha tells you that Hanik Behem din derech eretz, but Vesafta Ganecha is never a default that if Klal Yisrael are sinning, then we don't have that special bracha, just learn all day and mun will come down from heaven, but unfortunately we gotta work for a living. Unfortunately, when we're in Golus, then oft times, not only do we have to work for ourselves, we got to work for others. That we ourselves become the sharecroppers, the workers in the fields, working for the Ummah Sa'ilam, for our Oivim, for our enemies. Anyway, so although this sounds like, you know, very, very beautiful Gemara, and of course every Gemara is beautiful, but this Gemara is telling us really two paths in life. Are you a Taurim Derech Eretz type of person that you try to combine the two? Or do you say, Teira, 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 all day and all night, and the Kodesh Baruch will send me manna from heaven? So says Yimar Omer Abaye, Harbi Osir Rabbi Shmuel, but also beyond. Many, many, many people throughout the generations did like Rabbi Shmuel suggested, and that is, try to mix the two to the best of your ability. Try to learn the maximum that you can, and at the same time, try to make Parnasa. What it means, V'Otsu Beyond, so Rashi says, V'Otsu Beyond means that Baruch Hashem, they were able to get around without having to go and collect funds from others, without having to go and rely on others. Rashi says, Minik Derech Eretz, about 10 lines to the top. Shem Tovei Lidei Tzorech HaBriyos Soifcha Libatel Medivrei Torah. It's not only the embarrassment that you have to go and collect from other people, but it's push it, the whole reason why you want to learn Ganze Zeit, to learn, without doing any business, is because the money comes down from heaven. What happens if the money doesn't come down from heaven? Then you're going to have to go and collect. You're going to have to collect. Anyway, you're going to be mevatel from Torah. So instead of going and collecting and being mevatel from Torah, work! And then you won't have to worry about collecting and having the bizoinus, etc. So anyway, getting back to our Gemara, they were successful. Many tried, like Rabbi Shimon also beyond, but it didn't work out. So therefore, Abai is suggesting that you should follow the path of Rabbi Shmuel. And in fact, we find throughout the Shas about Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, we find Rabbi Shuben Chananya that he was a Nafach, and all the other Tanoim and Amiroim, they all Amir went.
was a sofer.
Exactly. Him the Chofetz Chaim, he had a small crate, he had a small store from which he would go and sell. As soon as he had enough for the day, he would close it up, and then some people would say, why don't you open it for the rest of the day? I don't want to take away Parnassa from the other storekeepers. Anyway,
a
blacksmith. That's why his walls were all black. Anyway, so Omalei Rava, the Rabban, so Rava said to Rabbanan, Rava is saying now to all the Bnei Teira, all the Bnei Yeshiva, the Matoisim and Aichu, I beg of you fellas, B'yom Nisan and B'yom Tishrei, these are the 2 months of Bein Hazmanim, so to speak, like Tischazu Kamoi, I don't want to see any of you guys in Bismedesh. All of you should go home and go to your farms. What's so special about Yom Nisan and B'yom Tishrei? Says Rashi, Yom Nisan and Yimei HaKotzir, that's harvest time, to go and harvest everything that grew throughout the winter months. And now B'yom Tishrei, that's Trichas Hakitas Vabadim, now is the time to go and take the produce from the ground, from the summer months, because, as you know, they didn't have refrigeration in the good old days. So what they used to do is they would leave lots of the tefuah and lots of the fruits and vegetables out there outside, and then when it comes Tishrei time, then they would go and collect it all together. That's why Sukkot is called the Zman HaOsef, because you assemble it, you collect it all from the ground, from the outside. You can't leave it there any longer, because once September hits, then it's going to start raining and everything's going to get spoiled. So, and what do you do, of course, with the grapes? And what do you do with the olives? You take them to the kitzes and to the bottom to make it into grape juice and wine and olive oil, respectively. So therefore, said Rava, that's what you got to do these 2 months, and with that you'll have panosa for the whole year. Otherwise, the whole year, v'tzachmuchin, you won't be able to learn because you won't have any food. Says Yimar, Amar Rabba B'chon, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, Bora Eish, like Yedoris Rishonim, Yedoris Achronim. Look how things have changed over the generations. Yedoris Rishonim, also to Rosh and Keva, they made sure that their Torah, that was the main, the principle, Umalach the Naroi. In addition to that, they also did Malacha as a secondary thing. Zuvazun is going to be on, and Baruch Hashem, they were Zolche, the Baruch Hashem, they became grace at Talmid Chacham, and at the same time, they were also wealthy. Toyrus Achroinim, however, later generations, Shaos Malachim Keva, they made the Malacha should be the main. It's a Ras and Aroi, Zuvazun is going to be on, and many people, unfortunately, didn't become wealthy, and they never became Bnei Teira, they just remained Amaratzim that didn't have enough money. Since we already used that expression, so we now adapt it for something else. Meaning that, as we know, we spoke about this a few days ago, that when a person wants to, after he's harvested all of his foods and all that, so then when it has become mechuyib betrumas and meisers, only when it's roya penei habayis. And even the roya penei habayis in the machloikis doesn't mean the house, the doorway of the house, or does it mean even bringing it into your front yard, into your chotzer? So that's going to be machlokes, which we're going to touch on just briefly. So in the good old days, when people were erlich and they wanted to give support for the kahanim and for the levim, what did they do? They proudly took their payers derech traksamim. That means the front door, the front entrance, the front. Rashi says shorim, the front gates, so that it should be mechuyav trumas and maisis, and then give the trumas and maisis kahanim and levim. So it's achroinim. They looked for legal loopholes. Machnisim payers saying derech kagris, derech chaserim, derech kafivais, back in the front, all different types of alleyways. They did it through the gag, through the roof. Derech Hatzeris means from a back. It doesn't mean the chutz in the front, it means from the back. Derech Karfifois, other ways. And he can draw Lepatrim and a Meiser said you should not be Mechoyiv and Trumas a Meiser. The Yom Rabbi Yana ain't a Tevel Mitzchayiv a Meiser, Shiro Penei a Bais. It has to see the front of the house. It should never be out the Kodesh Min a Bais. For the Yechon Omar, not only the Bais, but the chutz in a Bais. If it goes to the front chutz, it also should never be Yochel Mishareach of this pale. Good. Back to our Mishnah. We're going to talk now about olive oil. We said in our Mishnah that normally you make a boy priyat.
Go to work.
That's secondary. Your primary was your first went to Torah.
You're here first.
You were here first, exactly.
Sunday is
a daf. There's every daf. Will you be here? Wonderful. So continue on the Gemara. Zog Gemara, yes, vaytechutz v'nayayin. We send our Mishnah, every single thing that grows from the tree, we make a beiri priyagof, and the only exception to the rule is wine, because it's so choshev. Vaytechutz, why do we make a special bracha by olive oil? Zog Gemara, v'nayayin, maishna yayin. Why is yayin so special? Even mishum di ishtani li'iluya. Because it has been nishtani, it's been changed, li'iluya, to a higher degree, to a higher grade. It's no longer just grapes. now it's wine, and therefore ishtani the bracha. That's why he gets a special bracha. Mari shemen ishtani liyeh. If you go and take out your olives and you give a kvetch, and now you have olive oil, it's also considered to be an eloy. It's gone up in value and in grade because now you can go and use it, for instance, for making lights for Hanukkah, for Shabbos, or just in general for secular lights before the electric bulb was invented. As well as you can go and use it for salad dressing. So it has many different usages, and you can use it with the carbon mincha in the base of English. So how come there v'leishtani the bracha? Why don't you go and make a special bracha by shemen zayis? Maybe we taka do. Who says not? So you don't make a special just by praise like any produce from the tree. Why doesn't it get a special bracha? There it's impossible. Well, why is it impossible? Because what bracha should we make? Nevorech boire pri hazayis peregufe zayis ikri. The problem is that the fruit itself is called a zayis. So what's the problem? So if the fruit is called a zayis, boire pri hazayis. So Rashi explains as follows. When you're talking about wine, we are thanking Hashem for the pre of the geffen. What means the geffen? The geffen means the vine on which the grapes grow. So we're thanking Hashem, thank you for giving us the pre, meaning the grapes. Without the grapes, I couldn't make wine. Right? Everybody knows that. You have to have the grapes for the wine. The famous story, Elam from grapes, you can make wine. Good. Anyway, so the point is that... You don't know what I'm talking about. That's so the point is that you have grapes make wine. So you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're drinking wine. Boy, they thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating the pre, the produce, the fruit of the geffen of the vine. What's the geffen of the vine? That's the who's at the end of the grapes. And what did I do with the grapes? I, the B'dei Adam, we went and made it into wine or into grape juice. But I'm thanking you for the initial produce, the pre, of the vineyard, of the vine, that being the grapes. If I'm going to go and say, boire pri hazayis, the zayis is referring to the olive, so you're saying then, the fruit of the olive. Now what means the fruit of the olive? Then that means the derivative of the olive. That derivative is the olive oil. That's already bideyod, that Hashem didn't do. I converted the zayis into oil. So it would be inappropriate to go and say, thank you Hashem for giving me the olive oil. It'll make sense to go and say, thank you for giving me the olives. But the pre of the zayis, the problem is that the zayis, that's the fruit itself. So it's not like the case of the goven, where you're saying the pre of the vines. This is the pre of the zayis.
So why don't we say bar pre goven for zayis as well?
Oh.
Because we said that it's both kerem.
Yeah, but the more in the amadalim. It's only if it's called kerem zayis. If it's just called kerem alone, that only applies to the grapes. It doesn't apply to zayis. But what you were asking is in a different form, asked by the Gemara. Fine, the nivra chalei boire pri eitz zayis. So let me go make the bracha, not boire pri zayis. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me the pri, the fruit of the eitz zayis, of the zayis tree, of the olive tree. And what is that? That's the olive. And then I made it into oil. So that lechayda would be the perfect, the identical case of the boire pri agafen. This is the fruit of the vine, and this is the fruit of the olive tree. Says Yuma, you're right. Elam Amarzutra, a brand new reason. Chamra Zayin Mashchaloi Zayin. The reason why we make a bracha on wine because it's Zayin. Zayin means it nourishes, like from the lotion of Hazon Esu Oilam from Mozayin. It gives nourishment. Olive oil doesn't give nourishment. Freiti Mor Mashchaloi Zayin. It doesn't give any nourishment. Vatanan. We have a rule in Mesechus Nedarim. Hanoidim and Hamozayin. What happens if a person makes a neder? I'm not going to eat Mozayin. Mozayin means food that nourishes. Then mutter, the only thing he's allowed to eat is mayim u'melach. Because although mayim is very, very basic, but it doesn't nourish. You can go and drink wine from today to tomorrow if you don't...
Water.
If you mayim is water. If you drink water from today to tomorrow, that still doesn't give you nourishment. That of course, that moisturizes you and you need the water to get everything up and down. But you need the energy of the calories and the carbohydrates and all that and the proteins. So... When you say minamazin, you can only go and drink water, and you can eat melech and go and eat salt as much as you want, because that doesn't nourish. Now, before we answer or ask the kash, the Gemara goes off on a detour for a moment. Vavinimba, when we learned that, we asked, Mayim melech hudalai ikri mazin, hakamili ikri mazin. So you're telling me a person who makes a neder from mazin, he's also in everything across the board, except for mayim melech. Name it to the Rabbi Shmuel, the Amri. Rabbi Shmuel said that ein mevorchen boyer mina mezoinois ela behei haminim bilvad. L'choyd, if you're telling me that everything is mazayin, just like your yotze, b'diyevet with shahakol niya b'dvarov, l'chayra should be yotze b'diyevet with boyer mina mezaynes, because everything is mazayn. If you're drinking water, that's the only time, or if you're eating melach, don't make a bracha boyer mina mezaynes, but otherwise it should work across the board. And therefore Rafuna said, no, you're making a mistake. When it says a noidim and a mazayn, it doesn't mean he made a neder, I hereby vow not to eat mazayn, but rather be oimer kol hazon olai. He made a vow not to eat kol hazon. Since it's kol hazon, not mazayn. Mazayn is tak only the five minim, the five grains, which is, you know, the wheat and the spelt and the rye, etc. Barley, exactly, the five minim. Yeah, everybody knows. Good, that's mazayn. Zon refers to all types of foods, except for maim melach. So, Alma, what do I see from this? Mashcha is zayin. Why doesn't it say, hanoidim min hazon, mutter b'mayim u'b'melach olive oil, ube, mashcha, b'shemen. It doesn't say that. So it's that it's also zon. So how do you tell me the reason why you make a special bracha on wine? Because it's zon. And this is not zon. I just see now that it's taka also zon. Says, you know, you're right. Forget about that term. New term. Elechamra soy. The reason why you make a special bracha by pregofen on wine, because soy. So it means it sates. It satiates a person. Zontite. Like for the word seuda. It satiates. A mashcha soy. You can go and drink a lot of oil. It doesn't satiate you. Pray tomorrow. Does really satiate. For Rava, Rava had a minig that he would go and drink wine a whole Erev Pesach, a gamzitog for breakfast, for lunch, afternoon. He drank a lot of wine. Why? Ki heichi de nigere lelibe v'nechel matzah. So that should go and be moishach esalev, that should wet his appetite, literally to wet, both with an H and without an H, to go and whet his appetite, to able to eat now matzah l'teyovin on Seder night. So I see from that wine you drink, it doesn't satisfy you, because if it would satisfy you, then he wouldn't be able to go and eat matzah. So, Dr. Yamara, wine is very interesting. Tvei tuva. Gorer porta. It depends. If you go and drink a lot, I'm sorry, tuva, v'nechol matzah tvei, goes straight. Gehech v'nigra l'libe v'nechol matzah, so you should eat a lot of matzah. Stop. The tuva, says Yamara, gorer, if you drink a lot of wine, gorer, it's like it's moshech, means that it whets your appetite. Porta, however, if you only drink a little bit, so it, that already goes and fills you up and satiates you. So that's why it's special. Great tomorrow. Logically, you're right. But the Gemara is saying that the anatomy and biologically of a person's body, that's the way these things work. That if you drink only a little bit of wine, it satisfies you. If you drink more and more and more, then all of a sudden, oh, I'd love to eat something. Boy, I really have a type to go and eat. Does wine really go and satiate? Yayin gives you simcha. So it sounds like these are mutually exclusive. The yayin brings the simcha, and lechem gives you the sa'uda, gives the satiation, the satisfaction. So the yayin is not soy. So why doesn't nishka kasha? Namahu desoyed. That's the kasha. Namu desoyed. Chamer loy soyed. So you see, the chamer is not masid. It doesn't satiate. So do you want? No. And the chamer is beitarti. It's both soyed or misamech. Nahama misetsoyed. Smuchi loy misamech. In other words, the pasuk is not, as you thought, mutually exclusive, but rather the yain yisamach levav enoish. Number one, it has the koyach, it has the quality of simcha, and lech levav enoish is yisod together with the wine. That the yisod goes on both of them. Both the lechem is masid as well as the yain is masid, but not shemen. If you're telling me that wine is almost identical to bread, in the sense that it also fills you up and satiates. So why do we go and make an ala gefen when we drink wine? Why don't we go and make the full-blown benching? We should go and have the birchas amazon. You're telling me it satiates just like the bread does. That's because nobody makes a ganze suda out of wine. You have wine tasting and you drink. And
well, Esther, because Esther, she has a party with wine.
It's a party. But it's not a suda.
Okay.
Suda means that you wash on a meal, you wash on the wine.
The purpose of that meeting wasn't to satiate the body, it was to actually talk about it.
It was a meeting. Take a meeting. Good. So, what happens? What happens if a person says, okay, Rabbi, you're going to be kaveh suda on cake, and you on bread, and I'm going to be kaveh suda on wine? Mine. Should they all now bench because they're all being kaveh suda? Amalei, so he told him, when Eliyahu HaNavi comes, he'll be able to ask him this question as to whether this is considered to be a Kviya Suda. But has to be until Eliyahu HaNavi comes, but the Daita Itzchel Adam. He's just going to have to act like all other normal, rational human beings, and no rational human being is Kviya Suda. Yes, they drink, and they love to drink, and they're not, but it's not a Kviya Suda. Yes, Rabbi Newman.
So what's the difference between Sa'ad and Zon?
Zion means to nourish, and Sa'ad means to satiate. To nourish means it gives you all types of nutrients and minerals and sustenance and sustains the body. And then the Gemara said, but that also sustains the body. Oil also has it in various nutrients and minerals.
And if they,
exactly. Presumably, if the the drug department from Washington,
FDA,
if they said so, then you'd have to write how many calories and how many this and how many vitamin A, B, C, D.
On olive oil, they do have,
they have the
calories in the...
And it says 000. No, probably it says at least something, so therefore it does nourish. But it doesn't satisfy, it doesn't satiate, like, why? Gufa. So we're just going to finish off this discussion about the olive oil. Explain to me what is the circumstance. Now let's go into the details. When does a person eat or drink shemen zayis and make a bayir priyayit? Even because shasilei, if you tell me he goes and takes a full cup instead of drinking Coca-Cola or drinking seltzer, he goes and drinks oil. Try it out one time. Uzuki mazikle. That's not good for the body. If anything, it's harmful. How do I do this on you? What happens if a person goes and takes shemen of truma that belongs to a kohen? So what are you supposed to do now? Normally, if you go and eat truma, or if you drink truma wine, for instance, you have to pay back keren v'choymish, the amount, the value of what you ate or drank. Together you have to add a fifth, which is a fourth. But what happens if you don't go and eat challah or bread or truma food, and you don't drink wine, but you drank shemen oil? Why only keren and not choymish? Says Rashi, because I have a drasha that says, Gzuntait, v'ish ki yoichal kodesh b'shkoga prat l'mazik. You got, it's a lashon achila. When you're oichal, you gotta go and pay your keren v'choymish. However, if you're being mazik, drinking but shemen is not a normal thing. You're just being mazik the kohen by taking away the oil from him, and just being mazik your own body by drinking it. It's not a normal thing. However, it says the Braisa, asach shemen shel truma, if however you took shemen truma oil and used it going shmir on your body, it's normal, a normal usage. It's not a hezik, it's a normal usage for oil. Anyway, so bottom line is, if you drank oil directly from the bottle or from a cup, everybody agrees, no bracha. Ella, oh, you use it as a dip, like all those thousands of dips that they have nowadays. So instead of dipping into hummus or to baba ganoush or tchina, you dip it into your olive oil. And that's when you make a bayir priyayit. Then everybody knows that the pas in that situation is the main. The dip is just a dip. Then you don't make a bracha. So where's the bayir priyayit? It must mean that he put it into a special type of potion, a special type of drink, which is called anigrin. What exactly is anigrin? The Omer Rabbah Shmuel, anigrin is Maya de Silka. Maya de Silka is similar to what we call today borscht, meaning that you took, Rashi says, tardin. Tardins are beets. And then you go cook it and you add whatever beautiful stuff to it. And then you poured into it some oil. That mixture of the Maya de Silka, that anigrin, cannot be beet, even though it's made out of beets, by going and pouring in a little bit of shemen. And on sigrin, that's parenthetically, what means on sigrin? It's a little bit different than on anigrin. It's maida kulushalki. It's any type of cooked vegetable. Aha. So Zokti Yimara, so that's when you would make a bayir priyayit on the oil that you added to the anigrin. But then they have the same problem. After all, people are still thinking of this as being the borscht, this beet drink, the shemen toffel. And you added some shemen as an additive, but that's not the main. And therefore, you wouldn't make a bayir priyayit, and you presumably make a shahakal on it. And we have the Mishnah we just quoted. So when would you ever make a bayir priyayit on olive oil? So the Mahalach Ma'iskin is talking about a choishish begrayah, a person who has a sore throat, and he wants to go and fix the sore throat. Now nowadays we have all these to soothe the sore throat. Yes, exactly, to cure it. Now we're going over to Hilchos Shabbos for a moment. You know, in Hilchos Shabbos, you're not going to take anything of refuah. Why can't you? Because of the Gzeira, maybe he's going to do Shchikas Samamanim, which means he's going to go and grind certain special spices, and he's going to grind them all together and make out of that some sort of medication. Ah, so what's it then? Hachosh begrenu lo yir ar enu b'shemen. Lo yir enu means to go and gargle with olive oil, and specifically gargling, because Rashi says not to go and swallow, but to go and spit it out afterwards. So you're doing this to go and soothe the throat, like Brother Reb Daniel just said. But you know what you can do if you want to go soothe your throat and Shabbos, especially if you happen to be the chazan, you have to go and daven shachris the next morning. What are you going to do? So you know, in shemen harbi the toich andik, right? You can go and take this famous beach drink and you go and pour in shemen harbi, lots of shemen, ubalei, and don't spit it out, don't gargle, but go and drink it and swallow it. And because now you're putting in harbi shemen, that's going to be the ikar. The aniger is going to be the toffel. Oh, we make a bracha on the ikar, so you're going to make a boyer priya gofen on that shemen. I'm sorry, boyer priya eitz on that shemen. See, I'm getting drunk from all drinking all this, so I start saying boyer priya gofen. You make a boyer priya eitz.
Torah is intoxicating.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. See, so you're putting the oil in, and when you're drinking oil, remember you have to be mekabel first oil malchus shemayim, and that's why you make the bracha of the boyer priya eitz. Frank Timora. If you taka drinking and it's not mazik, but it's helping you, and it's the ikker, it's the major part of this potion, the mshita says, so what's the chiddush? Of course you make a boyer priya eitz.
Even if it's not the ikker, but if it's the part that's helping you, for you it's the ikker.
Okay, I hear you loud and clear. What Uri is trying
not
to do
by not by volume, right.
Not by quantity, but made by quality. Yeah, konzai. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, speak to your local competent Orthodox rabbi, halacha lemaise. But getting back to Agmar, pshita, of course you make a boyer priya eitz. So to amau, to say, mikim de lerfu, kam achavin. Since the main reason why he's drinking is for refuah, although it's masqueraded in costume, so it's halachically permissible on Shabbos because you've put it into. It's just like anybody has a sore throat and they want to go and take honey, so he puts the honey inside the tea. Oh, you're doing it for a fool. But if you're doing it b'derech chila, b'derech shia, that's okay. That's not a problem. Says Dr. Yimara, maybe you shouldn't go make a brach at all because you're not doing it for the eating purposes. You're doing it for refuah purposes. Since even though you did it for refuah, but lemaisi you did have the pleasure of drinking and eating it. By bruchi, you do have to make a brach. What bracha do you make? A boyre priya eitz. Have a wonderful day, boys. Have a good Shabbos.